Welcome to another episode of our Government at Work segment, taking a look at the inner workings of our legislative process and the activists who are working hard to make positive change in marijuana reform. Joining me today in our studio here at Delta 9 House, we've got Madeline Martinez from the Normal Board of Directors and Oregon Normal. Madeline, welcome back.
Thanks, Ross. I'm glad to be here.
Also joining us, we have Angela Baca, a journalist and writer I've known for a long time, also working with Oregon Normal, I understand?
Absolutely, yeah.
Fantastic. So glad to have both of you here. And here we are in beautiful legal potland, Oregon. We legalized marijuana. Everything's fine. We have nothing to worry about. Well, I guess that's it. Let's go home.
No. We got to roll that back. No, we legalized marijuana. We worked really hard, and what happened is they decided that they were going to put a bunch of roadblocks in our way. You know, law enforcement felt it was really important for them to include cannabinoids in the Indoor Clean Air Act.
Yeah, this is in Oregon. You know, when they found out that secondhand tobacco smoke was bad, they made a law. They said you can't smoke inside because it hurts people's lungs. Mm-hmm. And now when we legalize marijuana, they put not just cannabis smoke, but cannabis vapor into that law. That's just ridiculous.
Well, it was the big concern about everyone walking around sucking on their little vapor pens. That's what happened. The kids, high school kids, not over 18, not over 21, these little kids are walking around sucking on these vapor pens. So law enforcement said, well, what are they smoking? Tobacco or cannabis? And either way, it's illegal. But yeah. They didn't walk up to the kid and take the pen away and write a ticket to his parents or, you know, a ticket that they have to go to court. So instead, they jumped into our lane and decided that they were going to just stop it all because they're not real happy about, as we know, legalization.
Yeah. And Angela, this is a problem we've got in all the legal states so far. Nobody has a place to smoke.
Right. There are a handful of things that still need to be addressed post-legalization in all of these states. There's still housing discrimination against renters. There's still work discrimination against people who use it in their off time. The medical programs have been suffering post-legalization, and there's nowhere for tourists or renters to smoke socially. We have hookah lounges and cigar bars in the state of Oregon already, so it's not really reinventing the wheel. We just need to actually put something in place in the state of Oregon to allow this to happen.
And let's not gloss over that point. We've got a Clean Air Act that bans indoor tobacco smoking that has exemptions for cigar bars and for hookah lounges. So they're exempting the thing that the law was made for because we found that was harmful while banning the thing that nobody has found harmful. It's crazy.
Well, right. And, you know, the thing of it is that the legislature, when we addressed this issue the last session, we were trying to pass a Senate Bill 307, and it's for social consumption. And they said that they were – the rationale they gave me when I asked about the hookah bars and the cigar bars was they're grandfathered in.
Oh, because it was legal. We're just going to keep it legal.
Right. So I responded, well – I could be grandmothered in if you'd like. I opened the first cannabis cafe in the United States.
Yeah.
So that doesn't take precedence. I mean, that's pretty historic.
Yeah.
And, I would say.
And to the larger point of this just being a part of the other equal rights we deserve on the civil rights aspect, I was reading today that there was actually a panel at the NRA's convention regarding the loss of gun rights and how our, you know, in Hawaii, they were sending letters out to, we're going to take your guns if you're a medical marijuana patient. In Maine, they got a couple of guys being prosecuted for that. So this is a big issue. How are we taking it on? What are you doing to try to change this?
Well, I'd like to see, you know, that's why we're working on this legislative, on this bill so that we can change that. And I'm hoping that maybe we can put that into the bill, you know, concealed weapons. Because I think, the NRA should get on that. As a matter of fact, funny, we should mention the NRA.
Yeah.
Because we are calling this plan the NRA plan. You know, we're
but it's not specifically about guns.
No.
What does NRA stand for in this case?
Right. NRA stands for contact your legislator and let's grade them on their response to our issues.
Oh, so like how the NRA gives letter grades for their gun rights issue, you're going to give similar grades for these issues.
Right. Yes. The thought is that the NRA doesn't really even spend very much money in comparison to other lobbying industries in the United States, but they're incredibly effective, and we should take a few cues from them and make ourselves as effective as the marijuana lobby because we're a much bigger group than the gun rights people.
You know, this is something I want to bring up. Let me play this clip. Bill Maher on his 420 show had something to say about this. Let me play the clip. All right. So like Bill's saying there, right, we need to make weed a single issue for our side, like guns are a single issue for their side. Is that the idea?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So this NRA plan, this grading plan, what are the things that will earn a grade? What are you grading?
We have five basic questions that are based on our platform of what I was discussing earlier about housing rights, discrimination, children being taken away, the medical program, and social consumption. They're yes or no questions. They're not meant to reference any specific legislation, but more intent to legislate. And so based on how people answer, if they give us five yes answers, we give them an A. If they give us some sort of commentary saying that they'll take it a step further, we give them an A plus. And as they start answering no, we start downgrading them to B's, C's, D's, and F's.
All right.
My rep just got an F minus.
Deservedly so.
Yes. Rod Monroe.
Oh, yes. I heard of the Rod Monroe case. And we're talking local Oregon politics at this point. So is the goal then to make these changes legislatively? Is that
right now we have a two-phased plan. We're looking at pushing for legislation in this Oregon State Legislature in 2019, and if we don't get our way there, we will be taking it to the ballot in 2020, where we will have something a little bit more permissive that we would like to see. So the goal is to get the people in that we feel will pass a bill in the legislature this year, because we have an opportunity to switch up who represents us. And not have to take it all the way to 2020, but we will if we have to.
Mm. So this is a tactic that was employed through Oregon's legalization process, where we said, hey, you guys pass legalization or else we'll go to the ballot, and we did.
Here we go again.
So you think that threat carries more weight this time around?
I'm sure it does, because they've seen what we can accomplish if we put our minds to it. And now I believe that the Oregon Normal NRA plan is really going to get everybody involved, and that's what we're trying to do. That's why we're here today.
Okay,
so. Well, and we have a few of the key players of the Measure 91 team working with us right now. They've done this before. They know this process, and they even have a lot of ideas about how to make this happen by 2019 as well.
So the nuts and bolts of this, as you do the grading, you got the 5 points you're going over. Will that be used to gauge, should we go for one of these things at a time, put all five of them in an omnibus, or if you have to take it to the ballot, do you go single issue with the one that's most popular? Or?
The idea is to gauge where they stand on these issues. We don't know what sort of legislature is going to be put in front of them in 2019, but we would like to know, as the voters of Oregon, where they would stand if something like that did come up, than the things that we would like to push. So it's more about legislative intent and ideology than it is about specific legislation.
Let me rephrase this in a different way. Is this a proposal that they got to take the whole, we're going to go forward with the whole sandwich, or are there things like if you find the majority is good with, say, the housing protections, but the majority is really against the employment thing, is it worth going for just one thing, or do you want to put them all together at once?
Right now we're pushing specifically for social consumption, because okay. We feel that brings in a lot more stakeholders to push for the rest of it. If there was some legislator that felt the need to create some package omnibus bill and there was actually momentum that it would get passed, we would absolutely support that, but there's a lot of ifs in that.
It's interesting how we're at this stage of it's not if, but how. And, you know, I was looking at some of the federal bills today. Congressional Black Caucus came out with one, and there's also the Marijuana Justice Act that Kamala Harris just signed on to. And I look at some of these bills, and I see, you remember when we were going for legalization and some of the other medical changes, where we learned if you put too much stuff in it, it's more targets to shoot down. It's more reasons where someone can say, hey, there's my deal breaker, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And so at the federal level, I'm worried about that a little bit, because there's these, you know, we're going to deschedule marijuana and offer reparations and punish states and this and that. Is there a worry that that could be a situation here?
No, we wouldn't be reinventing the wheel by legalizing and licensing social consumption in the state of Oregon. Although Oregon was one of the first states to actually pass legalization, before this was really a concept that was being discussed, California is now rolling them out in certain jurisdictions. Massachusetts may be rolling them out. I know Las Vegas, there's some talk about it. The city of Denver passed something. I don't know that they're doing very well at getting it going. but there is incentive for it in a bigger way, especially since the state of Oregon stands to lose a lot of tourism revenue now that they're competing with California and Nevada.
No doubt about that. Now, let's drill down, since you're specific on the social consumption issue, let's drill down on it a bit. What does social consumption look like? Is it full on like bars where I can go in, buy some weed and smoke it there? Or is it bring your own like the cafe used to be, or a combination some?
I think it is a combination. And the last time we were at the legislature, there were actual lobbyists for different dispensaries that were there, and they were talking about having them next to each other, so that it would be easier for you to go, you know, pick it up, come sample it, see if you want to go get some more. You know, there's it just I think that it just really depends on who's sitting down at the table with us, because the last time we were at the a Republican caucus, and it was really strange, Russ. I felt like, how the heck is this really happening?
Yeah.
But anything's possible after I saw that. And they were actually talking about putting them together next to each other. And I think that's a brilliant idea for many reasons, you know.
So it's a separate business next to a dispensary.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the ability to purchase small amounts while you're hanging out in social consumption and taste things before you go to the dispensary next door and buy it.
We used to have a little history with that. Russ, we used to have a little room we called the medicine cabinet. And it was a half door, and you'd go in there, you'd see what you like, you'd go sample it at the bar. You could use your own device, or you could use the vapor what was it called, Volcano. And it was really exciting. People loved the concept. Sample it and then go, you know, get some.
Now, as we look at the future of the social consumption idea, one roadblock, I think, is right there in the organization that runs marijuana, the OLCC, which seems to have this never the twain shall meet. Alcohol and marijuana shall never be in the same room together ever. So is that, we think that's going to be the situation?
That's true. I think that's a workable issue. Yeah.
I also feel like we could compromise on that. If we could serve like caffeinated beverages and food and other snacks along with the weed, I think that that would be a reasonable compromise in my mind. We don't need to serve booze, too. Yeah.
No, they'll never let that one go.
I don't think that's coming.
No, I don't think that booze and weed are something that's maybe in about 10 years.
Yeah.
But not right now. Yeah. It's not the time for it. And I think that that would be pushing it a little bit too far for me.
Well, and I want these as an alternative to a bar. I don't drink. I would love to have like a social life after hours somewhere like this rather than at a bar.
Yeah, you know, the cafe was like that. Russ played there. Kenny was your group, a little group. Wow. And we were all sit there and somebody go on stage. And I mean, I think that part of being treated with dignity and respect is to have the same social abilities and events to go to, just like everyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we had it in the ADA. I don't know if that still stands in the current administration. I've heard they're chipping away at it. But I think that it is our right to be able to do that. And, you know, we have contributed $131 million in tax revenue to the state of Oregon. We do deserve to be treated with dignity and respect.
The thing I have, the issue I have with the not mingling alcohol and tobacco or cannabis comes from my history of being a club musician. And there's lots of clubs with alcohol. And you force a bar owner into a situation where, if I'm going to have entertainment, am I going to serve the substance that 60% of people use or the one that only 12% of people use? They're going to pick the 60. And so we cannabis consumers are going to be on the D list of touring acts and other than, you know, specific like reggae acts or weed acts. Right. But, you know, the U2 is going to play at the Moda Center where they serve beer. They're not going to come someplace where there's weed.
But Russ, we actually had our last place on Foster. Next door was the spot someplace, a bar that served food as well as alcohol. And that relationship worked out really well. They loved us being there. You know, so I think it's a workable situation. Maybe next door to that, we could have the dispensary.
Now, see, there
see,
we
now
go.
The have, trifecta,
have the
right?
dispensary, the pot lounge in between, and the bar on the side.
Well, I've always said we need to buy our own, we need our own strip mall.
the marijuana
right?
strip
and
mall.
We're all you growers with money. Come on.
And we don't need to be smoking up an arena at a U2 concert, but we could still have small acts in our small cannabis lounges, and I bet we could fill a room full of people who are paying very close attention.
And I know a lot of my listeners out there who've been to plenty of rock concerts are saying, psh, are you kidding? Weeds at every concert already.
What
are you
talking about?
Although, that brings up a point of how back in the day when it was illegal, we seemed to be able to do some more things that we can't do now.
Right?
Isn't that interesting?
I know. I was at a Chili's concert in Al Green.
Yeah.
And I went back and I said, may I please use this out of public view? And they escorted me. I said, this is my caregiver. I'll need to bring my husband with me. So there we go. Smoke dog
under
and
medical,
I.
Yeah.
Medical.
Yeah.
They just let us, provided us an accommodation, and it was so great.
Yeah. Well, we're working for that future, and I think you're right. 10 or more years hence, and federal descheduling comes along.
Yes.
Maybe the alcohol and the cannabis thing can go a little further. Let's drill down on another piece of the social consumption issue, which is outdoor events, festivals. I mean, we had our march the other day and marched right by the Cinco de Mayo festival where there's parents and kids and tons of booze. Sponsored by four different Mexican beers, if I remember correctly. So, Modelo Especial, but not the Mota Especial. What's up?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and as I marched by, I hollered, as I usually do, and then I realized they can't even hear me.
Nah.
I'm over here getting hoarse over trying to speak Spanish to these nice people, but they don't hear anything I'm saying because we're all marching.
But going forward with social consumption right now, that's a bridge too far too, trying to get this outdoor, or is that something you also want to try?
I think that's going to go with it. I mean, that's how I feel. If we can consume vapor inside, I think that people who want to smoke a joint should be allowed to go outside, just like tobacco.
Yeah, anywhere you're allowed to smoke a cigarette, you should be allowed to smoke weed.
Well, that's something that I've always said. It's like, we figured out alcohol, we figured out tobacco. Alcohol messes up your mind, tobacco stinks up the air. Marijuana does a little of each, but much less. Messes up your mind much less, stinks up the air much less. But if we figured out the worst ones...
Doesn't mess up my mind.
Well, I mean, in the sense, mind-altering.
Mind-altering.
But yeah, if we figured out how we can deal with cigars and booze, any place you can use cigars and booze, you should be able to use cannabis.
Well, here's my thoughts. Vapor. If you look at a rig, an oil rig, and you look at how, let's say, soiled it is, how much debris is in it, there's not much in a vapor. But if you look at a bong, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Really quick. So that's kind of how I've been judging it for a few years now, because I'm usually just smoke oil. And oil is not something that you can, that is notable when you leave, say, a room.
Yeah.
You don't smell the leftover vapors. It's right. Not there.
Yeah, so you don't have
the residue.
The burnt hydrocarbon smell.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's just like it plugs up your nose and makes your eyes red. It's a little less with vapors.
I feel we should be able, like you're saying, to vaporize indoors and then have outdoor patio areas where people can actually combust and smoke, because that's what you can do at a bar is smoke cigarettes, usually in a patio area somewhere.
Exactly. Well, let's talk action items then. To get this happening, how can people out there get involved and start, you know, lobbying for this social consumption issue?
If you're an Oregon resident, reach out to us, figure out who your legislators are, and ask them to take a meeting with you. They should. They work for you. You can ask them these questions in person and report it back to us, and we'll score your legislator and promote a meme of their face with their grade in their area. We're having a little trouble with the Facebook promotion because they seem to have flagged our account.
What?
Yeah, surprise.
An internet company flagged a marijuana-related account? Tell me more.
Other than that, we definitely need money. We're a 501c3 nonprofit. We can take it tax-deductibly. So if anybody has money or knows people with money and wants to see this happen in Oregon, they should reach out to us.
All right. So let's get the website contact information that people need for that then.
ornormal.org.
ornormal.org. N-O-R-M-L. No A.
No A.
Madeline Martinez with the National Board of Normal. Check them out at normal.org, ornormal.org for the Oregon chapter. And Angela, any other links?
No.
Our Facebook is pretty active, and it is normal to smoke pot, so...
All right. Well, thanks for joining us here for a Government at Work here in the state of Oregon on the leading edge of marijuana legalization in the nation. And we're spreading it east. We'll get to you as soon as we can.